Welcome to Fast Break Breakfast. We're going to talk about NBA basketball.
While noshing.
Yes.
Now that, well, we've already noshed.
Now that we've finished our breakfast, we're gonna talk some NBA hoops. This is our first episode, so we'll be changing the format, but as a rite of passage, we will do the over-unders.
We're becoming men.
And becoming men. Let's introduce who all we have here and what we had for breakfast. Chuck, why don't you go?
My name is Chuck Anderson. I had a hot brown from my house. I made a, Kentucky hot brown.
Hot brown, do tell.
You know, it's got the bacon, got the gravy.
Seems a little more lunchy. Are you already deviating?
No, it's not lunch. It's breakfast. It's what they serve at the Brown Hotel in Louisville, Kentucky. I had one. It's fantastic. Turkey.
What sort of NBA fan would you describe yourself as, Chuck? Or would you like for me to describe you?
My NBA family, as in where my allegiance is, right?
Yeah, what's your fandom?
My fandom is, do you want people to already turn this podcast off?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm a Miami Heat fan, but... However, and this was all the things I had to tell people before LeBron left. It was like, hey, I've been a Heat fan. Harold Miner, okay?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Back then.
From the old
I was
days.
A little too young for DJ Roni Cicely, but...
Well, I would describe Chuck as a passionate NBA fan, passionate Heat fan. My name is John Burr. I'm a degenerate gambler. That's my role, and I'm a Grizzlies fan. Keith, what are you?
Well,
Keith Parrish.
I also... Keith Parrish. I am a... diehard Grizzlies fan. I was an NBA fan with no home for most of my life until the Grizzlies came. While I was in college, and I was like, that's close enough to Nashville, Tennessee, where I reside. I will be a diehard Grizzlies fan.
It got you away from the Hawks.
Never a Hawks fan. Never a Hawks fan.
No one could be a Hawks fan.
But it was rough going there for a very long time as a Grizzlies fan. But then we were blessed with Hubie Brown. Coached our boys up, got us to the playoffs.
I like to call him Hubie Hot Brown.
Yeah.
Hubie is reason I became a Grizzlies fan.
Well, there you are.
He's the reason I stopped listening to NBA basketball on the television.
You don't like the second person?
Oh, Jesus.
You don't like the second person?
I would rather stab myself in the knee with a blunt fork.
Hubie's the best!
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, if we're having to pick the color commentators on the nationally televised games, it's a slight dearth of...
octogenarian... really is impressed by a chest pass.
I'm going Harlan and Hubie.
Those are pretty good.
Swish!
Jeff Van Gundy, and I hate Jeff Van Gundy.
What did you nosh on this morning?
I had some oatmeal crisp cereal.
Ooh.
Manually added the raisins, because they won't do that anymore for you.
It's adult stuff.
But then, cup of coffee, little OJ.
I went with some good old-fashioned breakfast poutine.
I don't eat that.
A bunch of hash browns
don't
with some
that.
Gravy, cheese curds,
yeah,
bacon, sausage,
yeah,
ham, bacon, sausage, ham, gravy.
Yeah. Well, we know that your Toronto over-under is going to be severely affected by
when
this
you hear
Canadian
any heavy,
breakfast dish.
When you hear any heavy, like Patton Oswalt breathing into the mic, that would be me.
Yes.
That's when you know you weigh over 200 pounds, when you hear your breath on the
Shouldn't
podcast.
Shouldn't we let everyone know what we look like?
Sure.
And describe your basketball playing style.
Okay.
Chuck,
maybe who you most resemble.
Do it.
Okay, so I'm about 6 foot and about 245 pounds, and I am probably best described as Charles Barkley without the leaping ability on the rec.
You also have you have a mild Matt Geiger appearance, but with a much stiffer beard,
yes,
a much larger beard going.
Yeah, I don't believe there's a beard in the NBA that can compare to mine.
I would say Birdman maybe last year had something.
Kyle O'Quinn, maybe.
Kyle O'Quinn's trying to get there.
James Harden?
Harden, as that beard is a joke. It's a joke of a beard, and I don't like it. And it gives beards a bad name.
As a beard grower, I like where you're going there. I like that.
I'm 6 feet tall if I'm lying. 5'11" if I'm telling the truth.
That's the truth.
222 pounds of steel and sex appeal freshly weighed this morning post-dump. I would describe my game as I used to be able to play basketball, and now I can't. So there it is.
That's pretty good. So more of it like a Ben Gordon?
A little bit, yes.
All right.
Jason Williams.
All right. Yeah. Which one?
The good one.
Jailbird?
The shot the limo driver? Or the... all right.
When they go to the
or the Orlando Pro-Am star.
He's balling in the California Penal League.
Yeah. I'm 6'4", a lean bean, kind of 180, 175 in there. My playing style is...
I'm taking over. The most irritating person to play basketball against.
I get described fondly by teammates as kind of a Tony Allen, out of control, knocking the ball away from everybody, but then also a little weird release, Tayshaun Prince. So
the Tasmaniac.
A prime. I will get you rebounds, steals, fouls, and I will guard the other team's best player.
You're not going to like this, but if you put glasses on the man, you have Kurt Rambis.
Mm-hmm. I get that, too. I also look a lot like a Spanish star Sergio Rodriguez.
That's 100%.
I would give him that. Mm-hmm. That's a dead-on comparison.
As far as what I look
like. Far less better looking.
Depending on how...
Because he's Spanish.
He's dreamy. True.
Gorgeous.
Depending on how hungover I am, I look like a different golden girl every day of the week.
That's pretty good.
And I kind of look like Stone Cold Steve Austin's son.
All right, so I think we should jump in to the actual NBA over-unders, get this going. We're going to start with the Eastern Conference, I believe.
Let's get it going with that team of yore, Boston Celtics. Vegas says, let me preface this with Keith and I have done endless research and Chuck has done none.
I refuse to prepare for this.
So pay no attention to Chuck.
If it pays me $1, I will put in $1's worth of effort.
Celtics, Vegas says 26.5 wins. Chuck, do you have the over or the under?
So we are recording this the day after the Celtics played their first game, and
they're a juggernaut.
They're
the greatest team ever.
They have the highest scoring rate in the history of the NBA. So they're scoring 121 points a game through one game. And we'll get to unsustainable business models later.
Yes.
But look, Brad Stevens. And, okay, here's the thing. This over-under doesn't account for how long Rajon Rondo stays on that team.
Not at all.
I mean,
it does. I think that's why it's so low.
You think?
Yes.
You think it accounts for him being traded close to the deadline for Amari Stoudemire?
Right.
Yes.
And a bunch of numbodies. Okay. Well, if that's the case, then I'm going over.
Okay.
I think Marcus Smart's a decent player. Sully's my dude because he sounds Irish. And
he's that's black Irish.
I think he'll get 30 games. I think they'll get 30 games.
Not hard to get 30. That being said, I have him at 25, so I'm taking the under. I was surprised Rondo looked pretty decent. I don't watch college basketball.
I refuse. It's slave
labor. I've heard that.
I love it. It's great.
I've heard that Marcus Smart's kind of a fun, player, but maybe he's going to struggle offensively in the NBA. The little bit of I saw the game last night, he looked okay, but still, I don't know how this team can't shoot in my mind. So yeah, I think they're going to struggle. Rondo trade or no, I got him on the under.
I have them with 33, so that's an over. As much as I loathed Marcus Smart in college, he's going to be the combination of him and Avery Bradley on defense should be pretty, frankly, terrifying. And then you talked about them not being able to shoot. I think that front court is going to be able to shoot. I think Olenek, Sillinger, and Green are all going to be raining threes. And I think Brad Stevens is already a top five coach in the NBA, believe it or not.
I'm not. I think those guys can rain.
Such a wild
coaching? I don't believe.
Would he win three games last year?
They won 25 last year.
Okay,
with a Rondo-less Celtics.
This is also where I'm kind of basing this on. Is they were a terrible team last year,
yeah,
and they won 25 games.
I agree.
As a gambler, they were a very frisky underdog.
Right.
Very frisky.
So I think 30 games, Rondo's in there for half of the season. They get a good little boost from them. Jeff Green's a beast.
My proclamation of 33 may be a bit psychotic, but I think over 26.5 is going to be done.
Jeff Green's a beast, kind of like the Wolfman that just shows up every now and then is a beast.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, with every full moon.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's with every full moon. He can be. I only judge players how well they played against the Heat last year. This is how all my bases.
That seems fair. It was one of his big games against the Heat.
Oh yeah, he had like a game-winning three from the corner.
He had like 30 whole points.
Yeah, yeah. He scored like 30 on us. But yeah, whatever.
The next team on our agenda is the newly formed Brooklyn Nets, with Vegas saying 41.5. Chuck, what have you?
Under. I think. Okay. First of all, Deron Williams. I hate Deron. Okay, so I hate him.
This is a hair thing.
You think?
You're getting hairy.
Okay, so I went bald at 17. So anyone that is going bald closer to their 30s, I just disrespect because I think they're lucky. But, yeah, I think Deron Williams he's just a fat guy now who's going to get you 7 assists and isn't really involved in any sort of offensive flow.
So you don't believe in the additions of Bohan Bogdanovic?
Bogdanovic. No, I think he's a nobody in, was it Teletovic? Teletovic? I don't even know.
Mirza Teletovic.
We'll accept it.
I think he's going to be a fantasy guy this year.
He might be a fantasy guy, as in he will fantasy, I don't know, he'll be a fantasy for people.
20 points last night, I believe, for Teletovic, for the Teletubby.
Teletubby. I think Garnett's done, and you've got nothing left there.
Garnett was done last year.
He was done in 2014.
And you're not giving our former Grizzlies coach Lionel Hollins any...
That's a minus for me.
He got a tech last night.
In my which NBA player coach combination will shove each other this year, I have Garnett and Hollins way ahead. I don't know if Vegas has odds for that.
Ooh,
but I would be real into that one.
Let me call my man. What do you have, Keith?
I don't know.
Again, we did these before the season started. At least I did.
Keith and I did.
That being said, I had him at 39 wins, so I have him on the under. I actually was surprised that over-under was that high when you just read it. I hadn't checked the over-unders before. I think they're going to be a fun team to watch. I love that they've gone almost kind of impressively international with a lot of their auxiliary players and role players. I don't understand. I mean, their biggest drawback is they're big contract guys. I mean, Dron Williams is not good as an NBA point guard anymore. Brook Lopez, when he plays, like he scores, but I don't. They were much better without him last year.
It's going to be a Plumlee season.
Yeah, and then last night Plumlee played, I think, like 10 minutes, and I don't understand that. Again, I only watched a little bit of that game because the Celtics were a juggernaut and it was not close. But I have the
Do you think any of the international flavor from the Eastern Bloc has, you know, a smidgen to do with the owner Prokhorov technically owning families in the former Soviet Union?
Well, oligarch's going to oligarch, you know.
Oligarch's going to do oligarchy.
I think that's
things.
One of our recurring themes: is oligarchs are going to oligarch.
I am surprised at how close. I guess I am truly the lowest common denominator that Vegas is shooting for, because my over under my guesses for wins were frighteningly close to what Vegas did. I had them at 40 wins.
I believe, 39, so I mean, we're right on.
I believe they had 44 last year. I think the loss of Paul Pierce is real. The offense really did run through him last year. He did a lot of things that don't show up on the stat sheet, that because they were a frisky team last year. In fact, in the playoffs, they made some noise.
They were frisky because of Sean Livingston. And
oh, that's a huge loss.
That's the reason why I'm going under, is because Sean Livingston he's 6'7" and can handle the point.
Last year, the Nets could post up at every position.
Right.
And now they can only post up at 2.
And Andre,
you're not counting Lopez, are you?
I'm not.
Okay, good.
Brolo. Yeah. Andre Blatch, he was a real contributor to that team.
Right, and he's in China.
Can we pour one out for Blatch? Where in China?
Pour a little liquor out.
Please don't pour beer out in my studio.
Okay, sorry. This is an actual studio. We're not in somebody's yard. This is a real studio. I feel impressed by this whole setup.
Let's do the Knicks.
Okay.
What you got, Chucky?
Okay, the Knicks, well...
Give us a number.
The over-under is 40 and a half.
I think we've done the whole thing in New York City of a coach leaving the NBA and then going into the NBA the next year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think this team fundamentally is much more flawed than Brooklyn was last year with Jason Kidd as the coach. And Derek Fisher, for as good as he may be, is completely unproven and has to coach people he was playing against
right
8 months ago. So I really believe that that's a big, especially when you bring in this new system, you got to go under. I just think the Knicks are going to be terrible. However, caveat, I hate them. They are on a good track. They have young players, Clanthony Early.
Expiring contracts.
And yeah, they'll be able to trade.
They could be a different team very shortly.
Right, and that's where this kind of becomes crazy, is because I think they have a trajectory that could be dependent on who they bring in, and they have a lot of contracts that they can flip.
So I also went under, but there could be some trades made that change everything. Although I went with 40 wins, so I was really close again to what Vegas has me pegged. I do think they look terrible. Like, they can't even run the offense, and the loss of Calderon is enormous. But now you have Shane Larkin, so that's going to be 2 weeks worth of losses right there. Mm-hmm.
Shane Larkin is not an NBA point
guard. Now listen, he's a University of Miami Hurricane.
He's horrible.
And it's Barry Larkin,
but he's not very good.
No, I think they got rid of. I think Dallas got rid of him at the right time. But you're talking about an offense.
I mean,
Shaquille O'Neal has said the triangle needs two stars, and unless you know J.R. Smith is on Molly, they only have one on that team.
That's not the country in Africa, Molly.
No,
that's the street drug name.
It's
name.
Not the actress Ringwald. No, yes, it is the. Yes.
I think a thing you need to know about Shane Larkin, starting point guard, is the Mavs let him go to keep Gal Meckel, who they let go to get J.J. Barea to be their third string.
And that's their starter.
That's the starter. That ties into me taking the under.
How many wins did you have him at?
I have it at 37.
Hey-o.
And that is only purely because I think Carmelo's amazing. Like, he's so good.
I love to watch him play.
He gets a lot of hate. He's a ball stopper, but he's so good, and it's so frustrating.
He looked so slow last night. He looked like Paul Pierce now last night. Like, he looks like a player that's been in the league for 17 years.
I think he's saving himself through the Shane Larkin
experience. I don't think he ever gets in shape.
Having watched that game, I do think Carmelo is into the Shaquille O'Neal play himself into shape era.
Right.
Which is unfortunate.
Well, he looked super anorexic in the off season.
Correct.
But that's probably because he stopped eating McDonald's. Well,
there's some water weight going on right now. But that game was farcical, and no one played the number of minutes I think you're going to be used to seeing.
Yeah, right.
So I kind of want to throw that one out, but I do think because I love the Calderon pickup, but I think that his injury is pretty devastating.
And I think we also glossed over it, but one of the reasons that this is a tricky over-under and not a lock is the potential moves. And is Rondo going to get his way there or is someone else? They have all the expiring deals. They can get guys who aren't working out somewhere.
Yeah.
And so they could sneak their way into the bottom end of the playoffs.
And for complete openness, I really do believe that the Knicks are on a good trajectory. I think, you know, Phil Jackson may end up being a nothing, but I believe the moves they made, clearing cap space, getting guys in, really helps their long-term perspective. And if they can flip Amari, I think they have a chance, because that is a huge contract who's just eating up all this space, and you can't get anybody to help Carmelo when you have that big of an albatross.
I guess I have to disagree, because I really only like the expiring contracts, because the only player I think who has any potential on the team is Amon Shumpert. I don't really like Amon Shumpert.
I kind of
Tim Hardaway Jr.
I like Tim Hardaway Jr. a bit,
like,
but he has a big hero complex, which you don't know if that'll break.
That's
a
very inefficient player.
He comes in firing.
Yeah, but he's nobody. I mean,
it remains to be seen if in the right situation, if maybe with the Derek Fisher and a Phil Jackson, you know, showing him.
I think
he
needs to develop for sure.
Agreed.
Yeah, I think he jacked up like a 2-for-11 last night, and they were probably at least they were behind the arc.
Yeah.
If you're gonna miss it, at least make them long misses. Right.
All right.
For the next team, it's the woeful, the almost cringeworthy roster of the Philadelphia 76ers.
Let's not talk about this team.
Can we just skip it?
It's 15.5, and I went with 15 for the under.
I went with 15 as well. This team, last year, I don't have it. They won, was it 19 or 17? I should have had
17.
I've got it.
So they won 17 last year. And
but they are much worse.
That's what I want to say. So they were
infinitely worse.
They started off hot. Then they went through like a 4-40 stretch or something, and they hit the over, even though we were all laughing last year. I'm pretty sure the starting five last night had none of the five guys who started last year.
You're correct.
Yeah. So we have now the backups for that team playing.
Tony Roten,
who is honestly a joy to watch, though.
He is so much fun.
The way he attacks the rim and just shoots.
Yeah.
This team is embarrassing.
He is so awful.
I have him at 15 under.
I also do.
I think they're in the running for the worst team in the history of the NBA.
And it's all purposeful, and it's kind of disgusting.
But it is disgusting in a way.
God damn it, Hinky.
It's the system. I mean, they're trying to game because you can't.
I don't
bring in people to Philadelphia?
I don't understand why they're gaming the system this much. They were going to be bad anyway.
I think they've taken it to an illogical extreme.
I don't know what you gain from getting rid of a Thad Young. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you gain by botting him out and having Michael
Williams. Well, I'll tell
Carter
you what
Williams.
You gained. You gained a first-round pick is what they gained.
No. So it, like last year, let's be – it didn't work. Well, they're the fourth pick, correct?
Correct. But they also I think they did well with Nerlens Noel, who's injured, and they've done it again with Joel Embiid, who's injured. They're doing it on purpose.
So let's say Noel and Embiid in a fantastical future go and play together.
Correct.
What kind of – is that a good lineup?
We won't know for 2 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't understand.
I like it.
Betting here with Michael Carter-Williams and those two big men.
As a college fan – Nerlens Noel is a defensive juggernaut,
right?
And Joel Embiid is an offensive juggernaut,
right?
Joel Embiid was the best player in last year's draft, mm-hmm. to me, pretty easily.
Yeah,
he played on the same team as Andrew Wiggins. Joel Embiid, until he got hurt, was the Jayhawks team,
right?
It was not Andrew Wiggins. I think Andrew Wiggins, his ceiling's like Sean Marion.
I understand bottoming out, and the way the current system is, it's the right thing to do. I don't understand bottoming out and then taking guys who won't be healthy. So you've bottomed out for like 3 or 4 years. Like, let's even say Michael Carter-Williams becomes an all-star point guard. And like he showed signs last year, rookie of the year, but the time he comes up, by the time Embiid is good, Noel's good, he's up for a contract.
I don't think they even want Michael Carter-Williams.
No, I believe that too.
I mean, that's just good stats on a bad team.
That's how I feel, but it just seems like they're just running in circles with no way to come up other than this vague plan of future hope.
Yeah, Michael Carter-Williams, you got to start doing
something.
Michael Carter-Williams was like a looter in a riot last year.
Right. He's a rich man's Tony Roten.
Yeah. Bottom line, all of this, we can get to their, over under, but
did you ever say an over under? Did you say under?
Under, for sure, under. Yeah. They're going to win 12 games. I think they could be the worst team ever in the history of the NBA. But
I do think in our next episode, which is the Western Conference, we have another contender.
Yeah.
I don't want no spoilers.
Let's move on. I'm actually upset with how many words I said about Philadelphia.
Hey, I think
it was
the longest
segment.
Did we just
talk for 6 minutes on Philadelphia? Okay, sorry.
Toronto Raptors, Vegas says 49.5. This old biddy went with 48 wins and an under. What say you, Chuckles?
Under. I like them. I think Kyle Lowry's going to play worse basketball now that he got paid.
Certainly can't play any better than he did.
He topped out, and he's going to get fat. But I like their youth, and I like their team in general. But I think the Eastern Conference is better than last year, and they're going to be losing more games.
I put them at 50 wins, and I'm taking the over. Couple reasons. One, I will say this is one of the couple teams I've adopted as my secondary beyond the Grizzlies teams. I love this roster, as in I like watching these guys play basketball.
They picked up James Johnson.
I like James Johnson. I like the rotation. I hope Jonas Valanciunas keeps getting better. I think Amir Johnson's a good player.
I do too.
I like Patrick Patterson. I think he's a smart basketball player.
Another team filled with expirings and trade assets.
They are also filled with expiring contracts. Well, DeMar DeRozan looks really good. He's more efficient than you would think he would. I don't have any stats to back that up. I'm just throwing that out.
He's a solid third option on a really good team.
I'm just going with, I think, I love what this team's roster is, and they have future options with the expirings. I'm not saying this team will even make it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying I like what they are. I think they can win 50 games. The East, in my mind, it got better because of LeBron. Everyone else kind of treads water.
And Stan Van.
I don't know if you've looked at the Atlantic Conference. Division.
That's what we're looking at.
It's horrible. It's horrible. I think they have a chance of maybe only losing one game against their division opponents. They get to play four times.
They're going to win this division.
They're going to win it easily. And there's enough bad teams, so I'm taking the over. Watching them play.
You kind of swayed me a little bit. I kind of wish I'd taken the over now. And I think they made one of the sneakiest acquisitions, and that's Lou Williams, who I think is going to fit in really well.
Lou Williams.
I think one only problem I see is, again, Lowry got paid. They might have maxed out. They had a really hot second half of the year last year once they got rid of Rudy Gay. Mm-hmm. I'm worried they have too many good players in their rotation. Guys who think they should be playing and won't be playing. But I like what they did. Yeah.
I took them basically to win the same number of games they won last year, which last year I thought they overachieved with 48 wins. This year I think they're right where they're supposed to be with 48 wins. I just felt like that over-under was pretty high for an Atlantic team.
It's a,
as much as they might feed on those people, they still got to play the rest of the East, which is kind of a lot better now, despite the glomming of the Pacers. Anyways, let's move on to the Bulls. This is a big one, 55.5. Chuck, what say you?
I really like the Bulls. I think that team is ridiculously deep, and you're looking at an addition with Paul Gasol to make a team from, if Derrick Rose either goes cold or God forbid he's hurt.
No.
I wouldn't want to see.
God wants you to know you can put that in the book.
Okay.
he's going down.
I really like that team. I think you've got a bunch of good players coming in. Aaron Brooks is a beast. McBuckets is going to play really good basketball.
Nikola Mirotic.
I don't know about him. I don't believe in European players. I don't believe in them until I see them play.
That's like me, Irish pig. That's
Darko.
Like me with every college basket, every draft pick.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. No. It's like it's the Darko conundrum that I call. You know, because the hype isn't real until it's there.
You have Darko scars.
I have Darko scars. But yeah, I think you're looking at 55. I think they went 56, 57 games. I mean, Thibodeau's a good
player. I got him at 58.
Mm. So you got an over.
58 for an over. I think their acquisitions and the draft picks were amazing. I think Pau Gasol's probably the premier free agent, you know, outside of one, he who shall not be named in front of Chuck. Mm-hmm. I love Mirotić and McBuckets. One of those guys is going to pan out as a three-point shooter. Etuan Moore and Aaron Brooks are kind of sneaky little ads. I don't expect another miracle year from Joe, but I think they did some addition by subtraction with the Boozer move.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I think even when Rose goes down, and I am pretty worried about that, I think this is going to be a good team regardless. They were a good team last year,
right? They have depth
without him, and they have the second best coach. So I think I have them tied. To me, 58 wins is the ceiling. Mm-hmm. I think 58 wins is the most a team's going to get this year because I think this is a nasty year of basketball. Mm-hmm. I have no teams over 58 wins. Well, what did you end up with?
I mean, to add on to the Chicago Bulls love, I agree with everything you guys said. I think Rose is icing on the cake, but unfortunately, I don't think he's going to play. And so their point guard situation, if he's out, I don't love. Also, I don't know what the story is with Jimmy Butler.
He was going to play opening day, and now it's like he's out 2 weeks.
Something okay, so I don't know if it's just 2 weeks. Also, another guy, Tony Snell, who I like, and he looks like he's getting a lot better. All that being said, I feel like the high over unders, I get burned. And I wrote him down for 54 wins. This is just based on they're going to go through some Rose injuries and some fighting.
Slightly under.
So I'm going slightly under.
They play hard.
They play hard. And
with
honestly,
that amount of talent to play hard, I think you get 58.
And if they face any adversity where Taj Gibson doesn't like coming off the bench, Derrick Rose goes down, and NBA teams, you'll notice this, NBA teams that play hard and have a fiery coach, it burns out.
The Bulls usually do start to burn out, but then they get in the playoffs.
I'm just saying sometimes the Tom Thibodeau yelling at you gets old to professional basketball players.
Oh, sure.
And they stop playing.
But I think they have enough juice.
I think they're going to be great.
I think they have enough new guys. I think basically...
Oh, and McBuckets.
McBuckets is... Oh. I mean, he's Dunleavy, but better. And he. Whenever one of them isn't
and they
working...
they have Dunleavy. I mean,
listen up,
Dunleavy. I love
you
this
non-college as you.
Mm-hmm.
Doug McDermott is a historically terrible defensive player, and he is going to have to work his way into this Tibbs system.
He scored 12 points last night.
He looked amazing last night. He looked amazing at Vegas Summer League.
He can shoot until it's over,
right.
But that's going to be an issue. But yeah. I think the fact that they've got Mirotić, they've added so many pieces that can contribute. This is a significantly better Bulls team. Than team last year that did well without Rose.
Without Rose. I think even if you don't really consider Rose coming back. But
I think they're the favorite to win the East. It's between them
and
our very next team, which is the Cavs, which is 58.5. I went under with 58 wins, which is the same as the Bulls. But Keith, since you've had to go last, let's let you go first.
Well, I did like that we had an order, but that's fine.
It was getting unfair.
I got 58 wins as well.
Mm.
So also a slight under. I love the roster. I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
The obvious criticisms or the obvious things to worry about as a Cavs fan is Kyrie gets hurt. Kevin Love has been hurt several times. Vera Zhao, who is their only center of any worth, loves getting hurt.
It's a brutal fella.
It's one of his favorite go-to things. Obviously, if this team is healthy, they are fantastic. I think they'll put it all together. I don't care who's coaching them. Apparently, Blatt people say nice things about him.
Blatt.
Because it's the offseason.
Blatt. Well,
did you say black people or Blatt?
Blatt.
Okay, Blatt. We need to made a hard T on there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So I like what they did. I took them at 58, so the under wouldn't surprise me if they fly up through 60 wins. My favorite thing about LeBron and Kyrie together is Kyrie has shown so many flashes of being amazing, but his teams are always bad. But one thing he does really well is knock down game-winning threes from the top of the key, lulls people to sleep. One thing LeBron has done in his life, he'll hit game winners. He also likes to pass them up sometimes. Mixing Kyrie's game-winning...
Shut him down, Chuck.
With LeBron's I'm good at everything else at basketball... I think that's an awesome
shut him down,
an
Chuck.
Awesome match. Chuck
Sporn, Chuck D. Heat fan, Chuck D cameo.
A little bit of, let me get you a little bit of.
First give us your over under, and then you can
under,
attack.
I think it's far under. I think they win 12 games this year. I think LeBron James forgets how to play basketball because he's not with Dwayne Wade anymore. And I think they're gonna win 55 games, but it's under. I think they're gonna have the same kind of learning curve that you saw with the Heat in the early years of the Big Three era. You're going to have readjustments and calibrations that have to happen. Now, the reason why I think this might be different, and I'm going to caveat everything I say here, you have a clear alpha dog in this situation with LeBron, where there was kind of a co-alpha situation with Wade and LeBron.
Absolutely.
When they came in and they kind of had to figure that out.
Kevin Love is thrilled not to be top dog. He's thrilled.
We don't know that because he's in a contract year. Yeah. And he's got to get paid. And if he decides to get paid in Cleveland, he needs to score as many points as he can.
Kevin Love is like the son of a beach boy. He was born rich. He'll die rich. He's not worried about money.
And that perhaps, contract's already done.
Yeah, they already did it.
I mean, it's not legally done.
Okay, so all right. So it's all done. Let's say everything works out and Kevin Love plays, because he's going to have to play the third fiddle. He's going to be the guy that is...
Is that the bass fiddle?
The bass fiddle. That is the deep tenor fiddle. But he's going to have to be the guy who's just around getting buckets when he can. They're going to run offense through him, pick and roll and everything. But I think there's adjustments. And I think 58 wins is it's a high bar for a basketball team. That is a very good basketball
team. It's 59 wins, really.
Because it's 58
and
a
half. It's 58 and a half.
So, yeah.
I think they'll get 58 wins. This is a better team than the Heat team last year.
It was.
Solely just because the Heat team had no bench and Dwayne Wade is whatever. And but here's another thing.
You look great last night.
I think Blatt will the rest that Spoelstra gave Wade, he'll give to LeBron. So this team's going to be a destructive force in the playoffs.
And this is where I jump off the couch.
He's won at every level. Blatt is won. I know where you're going. Blatt's
so what?
Won at every
so
level.
Did John Calipari. And
so
what
did Dave
do?
Yeager.
Yeah. What are we talking about? What does that mean? No success can
you
ever
drop
be
your cows. You drop your Yeagers. I present. Well, no, I
Who?
Can't really
Nobody.
Present.
You can't.
No,
the only
I can't.
Thing that can be transferred is NBA success. And
D'Antoni came from Europe and did very well.
Yeah, and
it's all players.
An all-time
it's all
coach.
Players.
Right.
Coaches D'Antoni had players at Phoenix.
Coaches are worth about 10 to 12 wins.
I disagree strongly.
What do you think?
Three or four.
Yeah.
The greats. Popovich gets you 10
wins. Popovich.
I'm talking about in extremes.
I'm talking about you could put one of 90 to 100.
Okay.
I'm just making up numbers. 100 people could coach this Cavs team to 50 wins.
Right.
That's 58?
You
wow.
could have
well, you
no
went under.
Coach.
LeBron, I went under.
You can have no coach,
but I think
58
is a great number.
So you're using Blatt as almost a misnomer, as someone who doesn't even exist.
Mm-hmm.
Let's leave the Cavs behind.
The Cavs.
because we're already on this coaching kick. Mm-hmm. And our next team is, to me, the greatest example of a coach increasing wins, and that's the Detroit Pistons, who Vegas says 36 and a half. I say 38, and that is purely Stan Van. And that's even after watching Josh Smith shoot his way out of a game last night.
I think you're looking at a 40-win team with the Pistons. This is all gut. Did do zero research on this. I just think they're going to trade Josh Smith because...
who will take him?
That's the issue, is who will take that giant contract. But you got to trade... You can't have him, Monroe, and Drummond on the same front court. I mean, it's just not going to work.
If you saw what those three did together on a court last year, it is some of the most laughable...
And last year, though, going into the season, I was like, damn, that's a really solid team. On paper, I thought that that would work out. And that's why a lot of this projection stuff doesn't
Josh Smith can't
out.
Play the three. I'm going to turn to our resident expert, Keith Parrish. Pistons are his second favorite team.
He tried
to adopt them last year.
John's making fun of me because I was optimistic. I thought they'd be fun to watch. They were the farthest thing from fun to watch. I mean,
they're like as bad as watching the Rockets.
Watching Kyle Singler just slump shoulder. I mean, I don't like Kyle Singler, but just seeing how distraught he was that like the ball never moved, that he'd be wide open in the corner.
He comes from Coach K land.
Yeah, he does right. So the Pistons were horrible last year. I don't understand. I mean, getting Stan Van. Obviously, that's good for your franchise. Or at least we think that's good for your franchise.
Well, Miami believes getting rid of him is good for the franchise.
Did you go over under?
I went way under.
Wow.
I mean, I wrote, I can't imagine the players they have because I believe it's the players. Mm-hmm. I don't believe Popovich could teach these guys in one offseason.
You might be right.
To win 40 games.
This may not be enough time.
Yeah, right. I don't know what anyone could possibly do to help.
I mean, this is a team that won like 29 games last year.
After spending $100 million.
They were terrible. I wrote them down because I looked at their roster.
Give me your number. I want to see this number.
31. And most people cannot conceive of Stan Van Gundy going 31 and 51. Mm-hmm. But to them, I say, look at the roster.
Stop talking me out of things.
Did
next
I
team.
Give an under?
I think you said over. What do you say now?
I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't be swayed. I'm just going to go with what I said before.
I'm just saying, Brandon Jennings, we assume he's on the outs. And again, we did this before the season. Last night, Brandon Jennings was very confused why he only played 19 minutes and was not on the court at the end of the game. Last night into the game, Joel Anthony was the center in a
warden.
In a game that was up in the air. Jody Meeks is out. Jody Meeks, also not a starting two guard in the NBA. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who again are perhaps sustainable business model.
Ken Sane Clown Posse.
Three for 19 last night.
Oh, jeez.
Byron, I'm taking the under. What have we got?
What was your official pick?
My official pick was the under. I think they're
okay.
Terrible.
What do we?
I think Chuck switched on us.
I may have, because I didn't prepare for any of this.
All right, next we have the woebegotten Indiana Pacers. Vegas says 32.5.
Okay, so for the record, I just want to state I have text message proof that John Burr predicted after the Paul George injury that the Pacers would make the playoffs. So if we're going to go on Instagram with that at one point.
I have 38 wins.
38 wins.
Four
and over with the Indiana Pacers.
That I do.
With Chris Copeland as your starting three.
From way downtown. Chris Copeland, buckets.
Who looks like a sick predator.
That can be taken so many ways.
It could be. Like
I choose to go science fiction.
With AIDS. Okay, so let's say that team is so bad. They had no offense last year outside of Lance Stephenson and Paul George. You're looking at Roy Hibbert outside of playing Philly when he went monster last night, not ever having a good matchup. And once you shut down that, and David West could end up disintegrating before our eyes. He's played 100,000 years in the NBA. If they didn't win 30...
So you're going under.
I'm going far under.
Keith, what did you take?
I took the over, and I wrote him down at 37 wins, and it's based on a couple of things. I believe there's a floor of how bad an NBA offense can be.
Correct. And they were there.
And I think last year they were very bad. And yes, they lost their two probably best creators on offense. But
not creative players. And if you watch that team, this offense will probably be, they're going to be worse on defense.
Yeah.
This offense may be better without those two guys.
I think that's possible.
I'm serious.
Paul George, absolute.
Paul
ludicrous.
George last year forgot who he was. He
and
started
Lance
firing.
Stevenson,
I mean, so
he's very exciting to watch, but he's a
I think because
player.
They have an established system. Frank Vogel, I do think, is a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think that even though they're really downgrading, and we're getting a Rodney Stuckey, who I think is a pretty good NBA player, actually.
He's a scorer.
See, yeah, look,
I like Stuckey.
This
CJ
guy rooted
Miles.
For the Detroit Pistons last year, so this is obviously where you're coming from. Paul George is, to me, a top 10 NBA player,
yep.
And was last year, two-way.
I disagree.
Was on an uptick. He's still 23 years old.
I agree, but I don't think he's top 10 right now.
He was still 23 years old.
He was still
there's only past tense Paul George for me.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, the guy's going to – he was a very solid offensive player last year, and you remove that, you remove another 17-point-a-night guy.
I'm dropping them, what, 19 wins?
Yeah.
I mean – I think losing Paul George and Lance Stephenson drops them 15 to 20 wins.
I agree.
So I have them at 37.
I just think it's an egregious line by Vegas. I don't think this is a 32-win team.
I have
them
exactly as good as the New York Knicks, who are terrible.
Here's another thing that we may not. Larry Bird may say trade David West, trade Roy Hibbert, and start from scratch next year with a fresh Paul George.
That's what gives me pause.
Yeah.
Right. This may be covert tanking because they went ahead and extended Vogel.
Uh-huh.
If they trade, because right now what we're looking at, and the reason this team can survive is feeding Scola and West, and those are your scorers. You got CJ Miles, Rodney Stuckey chipping in 15 a game. That's still the quality team. But if Larry Legend, who hates to lose, mind you, but he does seem to have quite the acumen, if he decides to trade a bunch of guys, this could get really ugly really fast. That's the only thing I think that keeps them, that makes it possible they would go under.
I agree, and I think it's a good move. I think they should do it. I think send West to somebody who needs a post scorer, you know, like, and just start because, like, you know, you had the worst possible scenario, your best player getting hurt, just blow it up. Hope for the Tim Duncan, David Robinson.
Next team is the Bucks from Milwaukee. Vegas says 24.5. I say over. 27 wins.
Frisky. I like it.
I'm on board with that. I think you've got enough scoring. With Mayo, I think Larry Sanders is back.
Thin Mayo, light thin Mayo.
Mayo, yeah, Miracle Whip Mayo. I think you're looking at Larry Sanders returning. You've got something of a defensive presence in the middle. And young talent who wants to run, the Greek Freak. I'm not even going to say his name ever in my whole life. I've made a decision I'm not going to say.
Antetokounmpo.
But
Chris,
you know,
Middleton,
if you know, you've got
Jared Dudley.
Jared Dudley's a really good basketball player and will fit on a team that has a vision.
The only thing that freaks me the f*** out is they added Jared Bayless, the worst basketball player.
You guys are Memphis fans, so you're far better off.
Which direction can he shoot from, Keith? I forget.
I can't. I think he can only hit going left. But I haven't had to watch him in a year and a half, so I forgot what his one direction on jumpers is.
Jared Bayless for Courtney Lee's greatest trade in basketball history. It has nothing to do with Sam Bowie or there's no Robert Parrish and Keith McHale. It's Jared Bayless for Courtney Lee, greatest trade in basketball.
It was
history.
Exciting. All right, so do you have the over?
I have the over.
No. You have the over. Oh,
I'm at the over. I think they can get 30 games.
Yeah, I had them right at 24. So Vegas gave them 24.5. I actually love this roster as far as how fun it is. I don't see how they can win basketball games. And again, jumping into the season that actually already started last night, they blew a 24-point lead.
And how?
They when you choose not to foul up three, you should at the very least guard the person dribbling with the ball who is going to be the shooter.
Well, I see why they did that, because Kimball did take 26 shots to get 26 points, but it was horrendous.
It was upsetting.
And they had already had the game tied.
They let go one of their winnable games. I already had them for the under anyway. Again, I'm going to watch a lot of their games.
I believe Charlotte shot under 40% for the game.
That's their MO, I believe. Yeah.
That's not going to get better with Warren Ready.
That's right. How the honeycomb do.
Yeah, I got them under.
Next we have the Orlando Magic with a 28.5 point, or 28.5 games won, Vegas.
Who do I make the checkout to? That's a Keith Locke under.
Yes, I agree. I have him at 22 games.
I have him at 21 games. So, yeah.
Yeah, about 23.
Orlando Magic, briefly, 10 seconds. They're the Sixers and they don't know it. They're not being overt. They have promising talent for NBA role players. They have no hope. I mean, outside of the rookies, which again, I don't know anything about them. Alfred Payton, maybe he's going to be really good. But they have no hope of having an all-star player. Maybe Vucevic can be an all-star. I think they're bad.
Tobias Harris. I like Mo Harkless. I think you're right.
Mo Harkless, DMP, coach's decision.
Yeah, boom. Didn't get on the court.
Jacques Vaughn's a bad coach.
Yeah.
Agreed.
But Popovich coaching tree. But you're looking at a...
That's Popovich coaching tree. This guy played.
Give
for me
21 wins.
Stick with me.
Can I get like 30-1 right on 21? Because I might take that bet.
I think Vegas has already made it so hard to take the under, which I do have.
Oh,
by the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they're already to like -140.
You got to put up a lot to get that under. All right, who's next?
The less said, the better. Jacques Vaughn, get out of my house. Interesting one. One of the most interesting lines I think that we saw: Atlanta Hawks 40.5, says Vegas. What say you, Chuckles?
Over without Horford back. And Kyle Korver looked amazing last night. Obviously, I'm getting a little bit of a... Are we getting dog barking?
That's probably coming in.
I do have like 72 dogs.
Yeah. John's got a kennel. So
I meant to put them inside, but I decided to leave them right outside the studio window instead. That's just a little flavor. Them's my dogs.
Them's my dogs. I don't even know what team we're talking about.
The Hawks.
Oh, yeah. So the Hawks, yeah, I like the team. I think, Horford, that front court is ridiculously athletic and can defend the stretch fours and the power guys. I think you're looking at 44 or 45 wins.
This team won 38 games last year without Al Horford. Right. Budenholzer's a good coach. I actually think some of the players they picked up are kind of sneaky, or I might just be a psychotic Kent Bazemore sideline celebration fan.
Yeah, I took him. I'm actually looking at this number and I'm regretting it, but I actually wrote down 45. Again, I think they're frisky. They're kind of fun. I think they do the D&3 real well as a whole team. Millsap's awesome to watch play basketball. You hope Orford will be back and give him something. If they hit some shots, I think they can win some games in the East.
I gave them 42. We move on to the Hornets. This one is an interesting one. 45.5, says Vegas. Keith, what do you have?
I got the under. I think they're an interesting team. I think losing McBob actually is a... I think he helped their team out, having that stretch four.
He was the distributor, too, for that
I don't
team.
Buy Marvin. I think Marvin Williams is a fine rotation guy. I don't buy him as a frequent power forward shooting out there. I like Lance Stevenson.
That dude got swatted so hard by Greek Freak last night that he may not recover this
season. I saw that
season.
Play. It was glorious. But, I have him at 42, I think, 42 wins. Let me check. Yeah. I think 42 and 40 is, they're going to struggle to score. I have worries that Al Jefferson gets hurt because he does that a lot. He didn't last year until the playoffs.
Professor Al is professorial and thusly aged.
I love watching Al Jefferson play. I like a lot of what they have, but I don't think they're going to score enough. I think they're going to make the playoffs again, and they're on the uptick.
I went with 41 wins as an under. I'm not a Lance Stevenson believer. I'm not a Kemba Walker believer. I'm not a Michael Kidd Gilchrist believer. I'm a huge Al Jefferson believer. And then there's the X factor. Michael Jordan's the Wayne Gretzky of basketball in that he was a great player and a fool in the front office. I think this team probably is going to be one of those teams that frustrates their fan base for years to come and always kind of hovers around the 7th-8th seed in the playoffs. I went under. Chuckle Hut, what you got?
I believe that's an under. They're one injury on the starting five away from being a lottery team again. And I really think Anthony Tolliver, missing him, is going to be a huge deal.
No, I agree.
Somebody who
He's
looks
a good player.
Like J.B. Smoove.
Well.
Yeah.
That's a surprising unanimous under on the Hornets. Because, they're promising, but
well, what that number's a little too high for me. I think what this is for us is some sort of commentary on Lance Stevenson being the man on a team. And I don't think he can be the man on any team.
He's not the man on this team, and he's still third option. Still, yeah. This guy got all that money to just go do the exact same thing. Maybe even a lesser role.
But he got reasonable money, so you can't fault him too much.
Let's move on to a team that I'm almost afraid to bring up, the Miami Heat, with 43.5 wins. I'm going to save Chuck for last on this one.
Good call.
I went over with only 44 wins, though. As great as they look last night, this is another team that isn't put together very well. I do like some of the additions, and I am a huge Chris Bosch believer. However, I think we'll probably see, you know, when LeBron was out last year, they weren't a good team. You'll probably see more of that.
Saving Chuck. So I'll go. I had it at 43. So I have the smallest.
So you're under a hair. I'm over by a hair. You're under by a hair.
I definitely wouldn't bet on this team.
Right.
But I have the under at 43. I think, you know, obviously they're going to struggle. They're pretty thin.
I think the additions they made, I like the McBob addition more than I like the Luol Deng addition,
and
really.
And Granger, what's the point? Why in the world do they waste
That's just a nonsense addition.
It's a nonsense of using their whatever their tiny exception or whatever the official term is. But
it's just, you look at the roster, and it's pretty hard to look at it.
Let's get a Heats fan.
But they do have Chris Bosh.
I'm about to light this studio on fire.
Light it on fire. Let us know what's happening.
You're already vaping this South place up.
Well, we're gonna talk about, obviously, the big loss in the offseason. Tony Douglas to China. That was humongous.
You're talking to FSU, a grad, right. Or FSU does.
Huge guy to lose from the bench. There was a couple other players, I think. One other guy went to Cleveland or something. So here's where I'm at. You're looking at a team that, you know, throughout history, with Dwayne Wade, what he is going forward is
throughout history, talking about the Heat.
The Heat since in their 27 years of existence. You have a team that has always done well with this front office. And to well in the East, I think, in this year is 46 wins, I think, in the East is doing well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm taking the over. Now, here's the levels. You have Chris Bosh, who is going to be a 22-10 guy, I think.
I agree.
You have Wade, if he stays healthy, and that's my big if on this whole season, but every team has a big if.
He's going to shoot 22% from three.
He's going to hit one three a game that breaks the opponent's back. That's the way he does it. He will hit one
a game.
It's
called a Stockton.
Yeah. Luol Deng is effectively a replacement level defensive player from LeBron James of last year. I know this seems ridiculous.
I don't
LeBron
think so.
James
I think
played
has...
no defense last year. He refused to play defense last year.
Yeah, it's because he was overworked.
He was overworked, yeah. And played a lot of minutes and felt like, okay, I'm done. I'm leaving. I think that was that. Josh McRoberts, you've got a way to stretch the floor some more.
Effectively playing the old Bosch role.
He's
old
Bosch. Bosch is now, it's a different, completely different team. You have some penetrators who may or may not be great, but Cole and Chalmers can.
Chuck, you're sweating.
I am. They can.
Look,
they
we're
can
all in agreement that the over, I think they're going to be better than what people think.
So
and they looked great last night.
So as a fan, you're thinking 46 about.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, we're not far off.
Deep different. I'm thinking if they get 50 wins, I think that's their ceiling.
Certainly.
Yeah.
You know,
I totally agree.
I don't think that's an impossible thing to do.
We're going to debut a segment after we're done with the over-unders called, what is it?
Unsustainable.
We might be done for part two.
We have one.
Scorned Heat Fan Text.
Heat Fan Text, which is a chronicle of LeBron leaving the Heat that we shared. This is our last team for this segment, the Washington Wizards, with 49.5 wins. Let's start with you, Chuck.
I'm going to go under. I think they reached their peak last year, and Pierce is a downgrade from Ariza, I think. Otto Porter could be good. We don't know. Bradley Beal may end up missing 6 months. We have no idea. You've got a lot of, what-ifs, and, I think they reached their peak last year. I think they had Gortat on a contract year last year, playing at his best, and now it's just going to be, them realizing – we're never going to be as good as Chicago and Cleveland, and they.
I think this is
out.
A classic Vegas realizing that people are going to remember how awesome they were in the playoffs and forget how terrible their coach is and how terrible their roster is put together
and how awesome they were in one round of the playoffs.
Correct. Yes. I went under as well. I only have them winning, let me see here. I went way under. This was one of my locks. I only have them winning 43.
So we're all in agreement.
So one game worse than last year.
I have them as a lock, as an under as well.
I do too.
I wrote in 47 wins, and I feel it's almost too high.
Yes, I agree.
My view, last year they upset the Bulls. John Wall's
bad, good bad matchup for the Bulls too.
Yeah, bad matchup. John Wall's a good player. Bradley Beal has a lot of potential, but I feel like he kind of drifts. He fades away. Like, he's not consistent. He doesn't come through in my mind. And I don't understand how this team got. I think picking up Paul Pierce when he's available is awesome. They grabbed some backup.
Pierce is a
Chris Humphreys is a good backup. I'm fine.
Pierce
with
is a really good upgrade, but all those bench players they added that people are excited about, like Chris Humphreys, DeJuan Blair, Drew Gooden, I'm not excited about any of those guys.
I just think they're almost the same team they were last year. I don't see how they get much better. And this year, people are like, oh, they're good, so teams will get a little more up for them. Right. Also, breaking us from our preseason predictions.
I think
last night they started Garrett Temple and Drew Gooden.
Right. I think that's not the exact same team as last year, which won 44 games.
Yeah.
Maybe even a little worse. So I think that's an insane over under. And thus conclude. Oh, wait, Chuck's got one
final thought.
I just want to mention last night, the King James Ennis is what I'll just call him from this point forward. he took a ball and put it in the basket with his on Rasul Butler's the bridge of his nose.
Rasul Butler had a
mushroom stamp.
Rasul Butler had a I believe a quote today, something along the lines of like, sometimes when you're trying to make a winning play for your team, that'll happen.
Yeah. Sometimes you will get
hey, good for him.
Good for him. James Ennis was probably the play of the exciting play of the night.
I'll agree.
Thus concludes our Eastern over-unders. We'll come right back at you with the Western over-unders in the next episode. Can you send us off there, Keith?
Yeah. So for Keith, John, Chuck, we'll say have the good rest of your day.
Drop us that Twitter handle.
And we're going to be at Fast Break Break. You're listening to Fast Break Breakfast.
Ta-ta.